I'm going to get started because I've got a bunch to get through and lots of demos, which is good news. So hopefully we can fit it all in. So welcome to what's new in Visual Studio 2012 ALM. This year is the first year I'm not going to get into defining ALM anymore. So they keep changing it anyway. So I'm going to assume we kind of will get what we know by ALM. Is this American marketing term, right? So not going there. First year for a while. We're just going to talk about what's new in 2012, and going to take a little bit of a different approach. So the obligatory about slide. My name's Rob Mayer. I'm a Microsoft ALM MVP, so I spend a lot of time helping companies implement Team Foundation Server, Visual Studio, training them on those things, training them in agile processes like Scrum. I'm a trainer with scrum.org as well. So feel free to get in touch if you'd like help with either of those things. My details are all up on there. And I also want to call out the Agile New Zealand Conference. So it's a conference I help run each year in Wellington, and we do a whole bunch of Agile tracks as well as ALM tracks. So if you're interested in more of this, as well as a bunch of Agile information, we've got some great international and local talent coming to Wellington in March next year. So keep an eye on agilenz.co.nz if you're interested. So the way that the speaker setup sort of works for TechEd is you put your application in, and hopefully you get accepted, and then you get some deadlines. So this is the date you've got to have your draft slides in. This is the date you've got to have your final slides in. So the date for my final slides came in, and I submitted them, and the phone rings, and this is the track owner phone call. You don't want to have the track owner phone call, right? This is someone has reviewed your slides, and they've got something to speak to you about. So I don't know if my track owner's in here, actually. Lovely guy. Anyway, I got the phone call. Yep. So I've reviewed your slides. Okay. Yep. And they're not finished, right? It's obviously still a draft. Uh-oh. Yeah, that's not a good sign. Nope. They're all finished. I'm all done. So there's four slides. Yep. That's it. Four slides. So if this goes horribly, right, and this is all in your hands, I'm going to get it in my neck from the track owner. So I'm going all demos. We're going to basically show by doing for whatever time I can fit in. And no slides. I'm going for the most demos in a single TechEd session. Right, so this is it. This is basically the slides, apart from a wrap-up slide at the end. So I quick set the scene. Microsoft, I've really wanted to expand on this terminology of continuous delivery, continuous value, and talk about continuous feedback. So how do we get feedback across our entire SDLC? You know, right from I have an idea through to how do I capture feedback from my users? How do I manage and operate my application and respond to production issues? So this entire, you know, ALM, this entire life cycle. And we want tooling to help us do that as part of our team. And this is really what we're going to show. So I'm going to take a request, an idea. We're going to prioritize it, add some detail to it. We're going to code it and test it, put it through source control, put it through some user validation, and hopefully finish up with a happy customer. So I'm going to play a bunch of roles as we do this. Okay, so let's get into it. This doesn't count, right? Just saying. Okay, we're in our demo now. So we have an idea, and we have an idea that we want to log with the system. So we are a stakeholder. We are someone that has maybe some budget to spend, maybe a team that works in our line of business. And we want to capture our idea so that we can engage the team to build it for us. And the first way we're going to do that is by using the web access tool. So Visual Studio 2012 web access. So who uses Team Foundation Server 2010 today? Fantastic. Look at that. Who uses web access today? Not so many hands, okay. What do you think? Good? You like it? Yes? Anyone not like it? Couple? Okay. So Web Access was a third-party product. Well, it was built by another company, and Microsoft acquired that company as a way really to fill a gap in their offering. So they had a great tooling story for developers, Visual Studio obviously. They had some good interaction with Office. They had Project Server integration coming with an out-of-band release that shipped post-2010, but they really didn't have anything for the non-technical person, the business analyst, the tester at that point before Microsoft Test Manager came along. So how do we sort of fill that gap? And Web Access was a great story for them to really round out their product. So it was a great solution for them. Now with 2012, that's gone. So we still have a Web Access, but it's a complete rewrite. So ground up, that particular product is gone, and we've got a ground up rewrite. And that's where we're going to start. So here in Visual Studio, I'm over here in Team Explorer, and I'm going to click this Web Access link. And this takes me to my Web Access homepage. I'll make this just a little bit bigger. See that at the back, okay? Yep. Okay, so we want to start with our idea. So if you're interested in Web Access, I've got a session in 12:55, I think, after lunch, where I'm deep dive all about Web Access and Scrum. So I'm not going to cover this in detail here. If you're interested in how to set up teams, iterations, manage the backlog, that's the session to come to. So just a quick pass through this. I want to submit my idea onto the backlog. So I go to this View Backlog screen here. This is what I've got outstanding right now. So I run an HR line of business, and I've got an HR application. I want to add some features to it, some basic payroll, some performance appraisal, and reporting dashboard. And I've just come up with another one. I want an about screen to our HR app. And so that probably happened a little bit quickly for you to see. But the save is happening asynchronously, right? So the idea is this tool, if I want to quick add these things, can keep up with me. So if I just start bashing a few of these in, you can see that it's not blocking me, right? It's not taking me away from this process. Maybe we're in a workshop pushing these things in quickly. So it's doing a nice background save. So what would expect of a nice modern web application? And my about screen is very important, so I'm going to drag that up the priority. That's the number one thing I want, and maybe my payroll is number two. Just change that order a little bit. So these are the next two things I'm interested in. And I want to approve these. So the next state that we go through is it's approved by some customer or product owner if you're using Scrum. So this is using a Scrum process template, which is what comes out of the box now in Visual Studio 2012. So you saw me add the title, and I hit this quick add button here. I can customize this quick add panel to add some more fields. If I want you to always set the business value, or the estimate in terms of time, I can add this to this panel, and that will mean we can just do this quick add process with a few more fields. Okay, so we're going to go through and approve this item. So you can see the state's now approved. I just set that, and our reason has been approved by our product owner. And maybe we'll put some notion of business value in here. This is worth 20 units, whether we use $20, 20 ping pong balls, doesn't matter. Whatever makes sense to you. It could be high, medium, low, some notion of business value in here. And you see we've got this user story format as the base description. I can get rid of that if I choose to and put in something meaningful for me. But that'll do for now. I'm going to save that. And I'll do the same to my payroll. We're going to make this now an approved feature. Okay, and then maybe I want to add some detail. So some acceptance criteria or some more detail for my team to be able to build this. So I'll go into my badge, and in my acceptance criteria, maybe I say, when the user clicks the about button, a dialogue shows our company name. Great, so that's clear to me. But not necessarily clear to my delivery team. Well, where should it show up? What's the format? What exactly should it say? You know, there's a bunch more detail they're going to be interested in. And so going through this idea of continuous feedback, how do we iterate and get feedback on our requirements, we're going to use a screen mock-up. So screen mock-ups tools have been around for a while, the popular one called Balsamiq out there. Has anyone used Balsamiq? Yeah. So this is Microsoft's real play in that same space. How do we enable these low-fidelity, quick-to-put-together mock-ups that can enable us to have conversations with our stakeholders? So they sort of tried with Sketchflow. Anyone remember Sketchflow? Yeah, that was hard, right? I tried a little bit, and this is just too difficult. This isn't low-fidelity. The investment to get this thing looking nice is just too high. So this is now storyboarding. Storyboarding lives inside PowerPoint. So I've got PowerPoint open down here, and here is my storyboard. So I deliberately wanted to show you something that's not Windows 8, which will be the only thing you see during these few days, that's not Windows 8 or Windows Phone. But this works for Battleship Grey too. This is not just the latest and greatest. So the idea here is our stakeholders get PowerPoint. They know how to use it. They've already got it on their workstation. So we're not trying to introduce a new tool that they have to learn. So I can go through using PowerPoint. I get this storyboarding menu. Clicking on here, I can see storyboard shapes. And this is the same paradigm as Visio. Right? So I get stencils and I can drag and drop those things on. And there's a bunch of predefined shapes that are done for me. As you can expect, fantastic modern stuff like Windows 8, Windows Phone. And the one place no one updated that word, but we won't talk about that. The modern icons, right? So I can drag these on and use them in my PowerPoint slide. So I want to go through and add my about button. So I want to communicate my intent a bit more closely to my team. So right down the bottom, hidden away, is the, you know, the things that we've forgotten about, the old-fashioned Windows stuff. That's what I'm going to use. So I'll take firstly a button. I'm going to add it down here to my slide. This will be about. And I'm going to copy my slide because I want to show what happens when someone clicks on it. So through my slideshow, I'm going to show some basic animation of, well, when someone clicks on this button, this is what I want to see. So I've got this mouse pointer here. I will just add some animation to this mouse pointer. So this is just standard PowerPoint. One of these, and I'll say, whoops, wow, okay, that'll be interesting animation. Here we go. There we go. I want to click on this and show what happens. So the last thing I'll do is just bring that to the front. That should be fine. Oops. Bring the mouse click to the front. Okay, now my second slide is going to show me what should happen when I click that button. So if I go down to the unfashionable tab down here, the old-fashioned stuff, I'm going to take an alert dialog. We'll give that a title. And the text that we want to display. Trouble typing. And all good applications like this used to have exclamation marks on their about boxes, didn't they? So I'll run this. Now I'm just using PowerPoint F5, so we're running a slideshow. And now when I click, hopefully my animation will work. Do my animation again. Okay, so I'm showing clicking on the About button, click again to advance to the next slide, and now I'm showing this is what I expect to see when I do that. So really, really quick to put together. This is not sketch flow. This is, I think, even simpler than Balsamic. I can now email this to anybody with PowerPoint, whether they've got this storyboarding add-in or not, and they can follow the flow. They can also edit this. They don't need the storyboarding add-in to change it. So they want to change some text. So this is a nice tool to get that shared communication, shared intent of our application before we start building it.
So how is it
buttons? Sorry?
How is it
buttons? So I need PowerPoint, obviously, and if I want to create the storyboard, I need Premium right now. Or if I'm on the development side, or I need Test Professional, which is the SKU for non-developers. Testers, stakeholders, business analysts, if they want to use this type of team-based functionality, that's what they use. But again, remember, create versus edit. I don't need this add-in to edit it once someone's put the shell together for me. Say that again. So there's a free download you can use. Well, an MSDN-based download you can do, and I'll install it. Obviously, if you bring down Ultimate or Premium, it'll bring it down for you too. So on your start bar, you'll see PowerPoint Storyboarding, which will load PowerPoint with the story. Storyboarding enabled. Okay, so the next step is to tie this into our requirement. So how do we now share this with our team? So back into PowerPoint and my Storyboarding tab, same place I viewed my shapes from, I'm going to use storyboard links. And this is a standard Team Foundation server link box that I'm sure you've all seen because everyone seems to be using TFS. So we're going to go through to the product backlog. And our about screen's right here. That's what I want to link it to. Okay, so we're done. So now we have our product backlog ready for our team, and we've linked that extra context for them to build. So if I now have a look in here, go to links, here's my storyboard. And I've got this right now linked from a UNC. This could be from source control, it could be from a SharePoint document library, so wherever makes sense for you in terms of versioning and management. So the next step for my team is to take this on and start to tell me what iteration or sprint or phase they're going to deliver this in. So we want to update this iteration to be, well, when are we going to do it? So we're going to look for our sprint one. So I'm going to drag this first about box over to sprint one, and you can see updated our iteration path. Equally, I could use this little drop down next to it, move to iteration, you know, sprint one. So you can see now we've committed to it. The team has said this is what we're going to deliver in this first sprint. So we're going to update the status to be committed. This is something that the team would typically do. And we can bulk edit this, and I'll show you tricks like that in my talk later on, if you come along. So for now, we're just going to update these two and say, yes, we're going to commit to, we've committed those to our sprint. So the next step for our team, okay, we know what our product owner or customer wants. We need to start fleshing this out. We need to add some tasks that are going to enable us to track progress towards delivering these features. So breaking it down into the stuff we need to do. So to do that, we're going to move to the Sprint 1 view. So this is our planning screen for Sprint 1 or Phase 1, Iteration 1, you know, whatever you call the way you break up your releases. So we just hit this plus. So, well, we need to probably write a test case, and we're going to assign that to me. This is Julia. Maybe that takes an hour. Because we're a good team, we think about test first. Then we're probably going to want some time to execute the test case. We'll say that's an hour too. We need to add the about button. Button. And finally, we need to add the dialogue text. That seems everything we'd need to do for that first feature. For our second feature, well, let's just make it easy and say we're going to code payroll. And I'll do that too. Julia's the star on our team. And we'll test payroll. Okay, so this is typically the result of our planning. We're happy that we've taken on the right level of work for our team, we've committed these items to our iteration, and we've tasked them out. So we're comfortable that we have a manageable workload that we're now going to deliver. So we want to start work. And now we want to track our progress of this work through our iteration. So we're going to move now to our board view. So just before that, you can see on the top right, I've got my iteration dates, and I've got this blue graph that's now appeared because I've put some work in. This is showing our burn down, so a typical Scrum way to track how much work have we got, are we looking on target to finish. Again, I'll cover that much more in the Scrum talk if you want to come to that later on. So for now, we're going to move to our board view. And we can see the two features we've taken on and the totals by a couple of different dimensions. Right here, I've got my to-do column, which is totaling 6 hours, and then each feature I've got an individual total for. So my add the about screen is 4 hours and basic payroll is 2 hours. So we're going to get started. We are going to write our test case. So I'm going to drag that over to in progress. We're going to show Microsoft Test Manager. So I've created our initial test plan, and we're just going to create a test case to prove this works. So we'll go ahead and start that test case. This will be about dialogue test case, this looks good. And maybe a couple of steps, we're going to open our application and press the About button. And the dialog should show our company name. Okay, so we'll save that. It's in Sprint 1. We have design right now. We're going to shift that to ready. So our test case is ready to run. Now we're just waiting. This could be what our testers are doing on day one while our developers go ahead and start implementing the feature. So they've written the test case and it's ready to go. So let's now start our development. We can pull our test case over to done. That's finished. And you can see that zeroed out that work remaining. So remember I put in 1 hour of remaining work for each of these. We can click in here to update it, or the act of pulling across to done is going to zero it out for us. So now we need to do some of the coding tasks. Maybe we're going to add the dialog text first. Rather than drag it from the board, I'm going to use Visual Studio because now we're the developer. So we're the developer who's going to build this feature. We don't really want to have to flick in and out of different applications. So let's go into Visual Studio. And looking at this brand new Team Explorer over here, I'm going to look at my work. So Visual Studio 2010, what we used to do when we wanted to associate things to work items, we'd wait for check-in. We'd wait for check-in, we'd run a query, we'd find a work item, and then we'd do the association. And then some companies turn the policy on, which would stop you checking in unless you'd done it. And, oh, Christ, I forgot. So we've turned that on its head now. The process is tell TFS what you're doing before you start it. And that way you don't have to remember to do this at the end, because you always forgot by then, right? You're in all the detail. So I'm going to, before I even open my code, I'm going to say this is what I'm going to work on. And then it's going to deal with all the associations for me. So a much more natural way to work. So my available work items, you can see on the right here, I've got the list of things that are assigned to me. And I'm going to go ahead and add the dialogue. So add the About button. And so up here I've got in progress work items. I can just drag that up to in progress. And that's basically telling my team I'm working on this. So if I go back to my board view and update this board, you can see that adding the About button is now in progress. So the whole team has got this awareness of who's working on what, and I haven't had to leave Visual Studio to do it. So let's open up my code and see if it really does look as bad as that. Storyboard. So we'll run our application, and this was a Microsoft sample app of not too many years ago of how to do the right thing. Here we go. So it's very lean, right? There's no waste here. You know, there's a new Metro layout, and there's white space everywhere. This was back in the days of lean development. I haven't wasted a single pixel. If I can fit another grid or a control in, it's going in, you know? There's no mouse clicking going on here. Oops. No mouse clicking going on here, right? My users can do everything in one screen. So I can click through these grids and everything updates, everything else. And we haven't gotten a back button. You can see I've just got this close button. So that's what we're going to add. So I'll go ahead and load my screen. And just like our screen mock-up, we're going to add the About button. There it is, that shows up, doesn't do anything yet, but that looks good. I think I've done that task. So let's let the team know where we're at. We'll go ahead and check that in, and that should mark that task as finished. So again, enter my work. It shows me what I've got. I've got an edit in progress, and I've added my About button. So I'm going to go and check that in. And you can see down here, it's giving me this option, and the default is to resolve it. It's going to close this task for me. So I don't have to worry about finding the right one, updating the status. It's going to close it, and that's exactly what I want. So let's check that in. And that's reminding me, it's going to check it in and close the task, and don't ever remind me again. Okay, so back to our board. Again, the rest of our team can see, great, Julia's onto it. She's already put the About button there. So let's go ahead and do the next piece. We now want to add our code. So I go back to my Team Explorer view, and I'm going to move this Add the Dialogue text up into In Progress. Tell this team what I'm doing. And I'm a good test-driven developer, so I'm going to write a unit test first. So we'll add a test project real quick. So now you can see into this test menu, this is new. Visual Studio 2012, I've got three different types of test projects. Visual Studio 2010, I had one test project, which was the Uber project that had everything. Coded UI, generic test, unit test, I could put everything in there. Now we're splitting out what's the intent of this test project. So we want to do a unit test project. This will be our HR app test. And we'll add a reference to our main project. This will be maybe our messages. And our about dialogue should show company name. So it was something like we'll have some kind of messages class. Okay, something like that. We'll add our class over here. Okay. And I'm sure I'll name something not quite right. Okay, good. Now we want to see our new Test Explorer. So I'm going to go into this test menu here and Windows Test Explorer. So this is, again, brand new. Now when I build, it's analyzing my solution for unit tests. So you see that green line going through at the top of the Test Explorer. So all of the other test windows in Visual Studio 2010 have disappeared. Test view, test lists, all of that noise that was around 2010, gone. This is what TDD looks like now, our experience in 2012. So again, just a quick look now. I'm doing a session on Thursday, which is deep dive on unit testing in 2012, and we'll cover this in a lot of detail. But very, very different experience. So we've gained a whole lot, and we've taken some things away to make this work the way it does in 2012. So if you're interested in unit testing, come along to that. So here that's shown up, and you can see it's not been run. So we'll right-click and say, let's test that. Again, we're good test-first developers. And we get the data that would hopefully get over test runner. So what was the difference and where, what was the stack trace? Okay, so we're missing a... missing a capital. Great, we're ready to go. So we've made some code change. We can now hook our string into our button. A string message class into our button. run our application, make sure that we're happy with it. Okay, so we've built that feature. So our customer's going to be happy. Now, we have a policy in our company, as well as Test First, we do code reviews. So everyone who changes some code gets it reviewed by someone else before we check it in. So we've got to go and do that now. We've done all the right thing. We've ticked all the boxes. Let's get a code review and throw this back to our customer who's going to be very happy with us. So right here next to check-in, now that I'm happy with the changes I've made, I can hit this request review. So I'm going to do that. One click, request review, and you can see it's picked up the task I'm working on. So it's got context for the person doing the reviewer. They know not just some random code, but what was I doing. I can add whoever I want to do it, and I'm going to give it to Cameron. And I'll put in some description. You know, check out my great bad box. Unit tests and everything. And we'll submit that request. So this is now first class work item type, right? Full fidelity auditing and tracking of code reviews. We can make sure they happened. Who did them, what the results were. Sure. So they're work items. I'll show you what it looks like from the consumer, from the person who got asked to do the review, but it's a full work item. So I can query on it. I can see exactly what the response was. So let me show you what it looks like as the person doing the review and see if that answers your question. So to do that, I'm going to log in as Cameron. So Cameron gets an email. I'm not going to show you that for the sake of time. Cameron gets an email to say, hey, you've got a code review request. Go ahead and click this link, or you can go there via Visual Studio. So I'm going to show you what happens when we go and look via Visual Studio. In the same way, when I finish this request, Julia will get an email back saying, hey, Cameron's done your code review. You can go and pick it up now. So that alert is based off Team Alerts, which is new in Visual Studio 2012, and it just gets set up for you as default for code reviews. So here I am in Team Explorer. I'm going to change my project because this isn't the project I want. And go to my work. So you get the idea. My work is really this portal of stuff that's interesting for me. Everything I want to do and interact with in terms of Team Foundation Server, I can drive out of this My Work area. Right now, you can see I've got this code review. So I'm going to double-click on that. And it opens up the context for me. So make that a bit bigger. I can see the work item that you are working on. So I can open up this, again, get some context. What were you doing? What feature is this for? Why are you making these changes? I can see any comments that Julia's put in. Check out great unit tests. And just to highlight, I've got nothing open here in Solution Explorer. So I don't know what branch this is on, where it is in source control, maybe even what it, you know, why you've made this particular change in the area you have. And I don't have to. So I can follow the links I've got down here in files. So, okay, I can see that you have added this message class. Let's go and have a look in here. So this is launching, showing the new diffing engine inside Visual Studio 2012. So finally, the last little scrap of SourceSafe has been consigned to history, and that was that horrible diff engine, black and white, you know, that really ugly thing. And we all had to go out and buy DiffDog or Beyond Compare. So it's gone. This is brand new and gives me first-class kind of diff support. So I can see, you know, inline mode, side-by-side, what you'd expect of a decent diffing engine. So this obviously wasn't here before. It's been added. And I want to comment on this. I want to comment on this line of code. So I'm going to highlight that, right-click, and add a comment. So why are you hard-coding? Okay, so we're not happy with that, right? This isn't our quality. So we'll save this comment. I can add an overall comment here. And And what I should have done first, I can accept the code review. So I've gone through and added my comments. I'll send those comments through. And I might want to take some more time to have a look, but I can drip feed the information back if I want to. But this is all I think I need to add, given the quality of this code. And so then we'll send and finish, and we get an overall, like as a quick score, if you like. Looks good, carry on, read my comments, or, you know, this really needs a lot of work. So we'll send that back to Julia. That should make her day. Let's go back through, and that's it. We're done as Cameron, so our review is finished. Let's go back as Julia. Back to Visual Studio, and again, we're going to look in my work and see if Cameron liked my new unit test. So here's my code review. So we'll open it up, and we can see what Cameron's come back with. So this sucks, so that's not looking good. It needs some work. And then down here, you know, why am I hard coding? Well, what's he talking about? I didn't hard code. I had a beautiful message class abstraction and all that kind of stuff. So I can click on the comment here, and it takes me to that line of code that he was commenting on. So again, context. I don't have to trawl through all the code I sent him to try and understand which he was referring to. So it's literally annotating. Right? It's tagging. And so I can use this now as traceability if I want to ignore this, if I want to say, okay, well, I've changed it, what do you think? We can have a conversation about the code. Well, you know, what does Cameron know anyway? He's got a big ponytail and, you know, we don't like Cameron. So we're going to go through and say, you know what, we're going to close it. It's good, we're happy. I like the code. And we're going to check it in. So again, we're going to resolve this item. We've added the dialogue text, that looks great, let's check it in. We're going to home in Team Explorer and web access. So looking at our board, looking good. So it's now time to execute our test case. So we'll run over to our tester. It's ready, you know, let's get it going. We can move on to our second feature. You go and do the testing and I'll start coding the payroll. Payroll is really complicated, right? So you go and do the testing, leave me alone, and I'm going to do the complicated bit. So as the dev, we're moving on to payroll. I'm going to go back here to my work, and I'll take coding the payroll up into in progress. We'll load our solution up again. And what I want you to imagine is, if we go maybe into our unit test here, we'll put some breakpoints on. Notice what windows I've got open there, and notice I've got a breakpoint set. Imagine, you know, I'm in a killer debug session, right? I've got my state, my context is perfectly set up. You know, maybe I'm debugging some race condition and it's incredibly hard to get my mind in this problem space, it's not a good time to be interrupted, right? To settle that time up, maybe get it from a specific branch because I need to do something that I don't want to affect the main line. You know, I'm in the zone. So we'll leave our developer there, in the zone, kind of hacking this thing out, and go and be our tester. So our tester's now going to validate that fix. We're going to execute our test case. So we'll load up Microsoft Test Manager. And while this loads, I just want to call out a licensing change for Test Manager. Test Manager used to be I had to buy Ultimate if I was a dev and I wanted Test Manager, or I had to buy Test Professional. These are the additions, if you like. If I bought Test Professional, I didn't get Visual Studio, so that was purely a tester's option. Now Test Manager has moved into Premium. So if you have Premium, you have Test Manager. So this is a great advantage if you've already got Premium or you're looking to buy Premium. It's worth calling out because I don't think it's been that well sort of advertised. Okay, here's my test case. So I'm going to move across into that was my planning area. My planning's all set up. I'm going to move across into my test area. And I'm going to run my test. So we see this test runner over here that's going to track me. It's going to walk me through those steps we came up with. So I hit start test, and I need to load my application, so let's go ahead and do that. Winamp, and the bowels, there we go. Okay, so I'm going to mark this step as passed. I'm happy that the application is loaded without issue. Press the about button, and you can see it's stepping me through what I put in the test case. The dialog should show our company name. Okay, well, let's try that. Well, that looks okay, but I don't see a title on this dialog, and I'm a very pedantic tester, right? I don't like dialogues without titles. So this is terrible. This is a showstopper for me. We're going to have to stop everything, stop the line, hit the big red button, and get this fixed straight away. So I'm going to fail this step. Not good enough. And I can add a comment here if I choose to. I'm actually going to take a screenshot. So I use this icon here, take a screenshot, so I can make sure the developers don't go, yes, it does, yes, it does. And go, no, it doesn't, no, it doesn't. Right? We never do that, though, right? We never do that. So in that test, and you can see it's attached to my screenshot. Finally, I'm going to put this button up here, create a bug. And it's brought in those two steps, those two test steps. I open the application. So basically, this gives me my steps to reproduce. As a dev, when I open this, I get some context. Okay, this is what you were doing, and this was the screenshot. So it helps me to diagnose what my issue was. So I'm going to call this about dialogue missing title. And well, of course, Julia, queen of all, gets to do this. I'm going to save this. Bugs in the Scrum template are treated as product backlog items, features. So I won't bore you with the details for this talk, but it means that before it becomes available to fix, we've got to cycle it through to the committed stage. Again, come to the Scrum talk. You want to hear about this? So we've committed to fix this. This bug is now assigned to Julia. We've committed to fix it. So we'll close this. And that's it. We're done testing because it's all broken, right? This is horrible. So we run over to Julia. Julia, Julia, stop developing, got to fix this, I've blocked, can't do anything else. Now remember, what was Julia doing? What was the dev doing?
Payroll.
Incredibly complicated, right? Very, very hard. Uh-oh. Don't interrupt me, I'm right in the middle of one more F11, I'm going to hit this bug, I'm going to nail it, and you know, you got the tester in your face going, yeah, but bug report. So we've got to switch, and this is expensive, we don't like doing it. So we've got some help in the tooling now. Let's have a look what that looks like. Back to my work. We're coding payroll. Remember our windows. Remember our breakpoint. Okay, so we're going to say, I want to suspend this work. So I'm going to hit the suspend and shelve link. It's going to give it a title which is by default the name of the task I'm currently doing, the name of the task that was in progress. All my windows are gone, right? My project is now clean. So it's got rid of my current state. So now I want to go through and fix this bug. And you can see down here, if I refresh, there's my bat dialogue missing title. Quick tip, this my work, this available work items will only show tasks, not bugs at the box. So you can go and set it to be a different query that you generate that will show bugs. I kind of find, why wouldn't I want to see? I want to see everything that's assigned to me, right? I don't care if they're just tasks or not. So that could be worth doing. So we want to fix this bug, right? Get this tester out of my hair. Okay, so we've moved off of our tricky item. We're going to go through and say, okay, we're now in progress on fixing our bug. Go through to our solution and say, right, you want a title. I'll give you a title. So we're going to go through here, make a change. Right, we've got a title. Julia's not happy. I don't think Julia's going to be in a job for long. Let's run our application. Maybe close our application. Run our application. Okay, we've got a title. Back to the tester, right? The title's done, I'm about to check it in, then you can get out of my hair. So we'll go and we'll do it from my work again. We're going to check in our changes to fix this bug. And what I want to show you on this screen, you notice this says associate. This doesn't say resolve. It said resolve for a task. So where it was a task, it closed it for me. But a check-in is never going to fix a bug. It's never going to resolve it. So we're associating it to it. The bug is still there. It's just going to have some associated code check-ins. That looks fine. Let's check it in. We don't like Cameron anymore, so we're not getting a review for this. And we built it and we tested it, right? So we're happy for the tester to carry on. So we go back to the tester and say, okay, you're not blocked now. Go and verify it while I get on with this really tricky payroll code. So before we become the tester again, let's go back. So well, our developer now wants to get back to that tricky item. So we go back to the homepage, into my work, and here was our coding payroll in suspended and shelved. And so I'm going to resume this work. So I'll click on resume. Let's close. No, let's leave those windows open. And so it's brought back the windows I had open and the breakpoints I had set. So it's basically using the new feature in Team Foundation Server 2012 of metadata on shell sets for this. So shell sets are a way that you can privately sort of store some information in source control, right? You don't necessarily want to share them. It's just a way to say, I'll come back to that later. And now we can associate metadata with shell sets. And that's what this suspend and resume is doing. So it's taking my state, my context, serializing it and attaching it to that shell set. So any changes that I currently had in progress all get nicely stored away from me. And I can have multiple of those, right? I could have four or five of them on the go if I'm waiting for a response from someone, for feedback from a tester, and I can flick between the two or three or four and hopefully dramatically lowering the cost of context switching. Setting all that stuff up takes a long, long time, right? So this is just, I think, a really good feature.
Can I just ask you a quick question?
Yeah. You can assign them. These are just shell sets. So in the same way I can share a private shell set with you, I can share this with you.
And can you limit the amount of suspends that someone can use?
Haven't tried that. If you, my details are on the slides. If you want to ping me, I can find that out for you. Absolutely. Yeah. So if you, it would be on check-in rather than on an unshelf. So when I resume, what that's doing is pulling work down locally to me from my shelf set. The idea is, if you imagine two sessions, it's replacing one with the other. It's not really about merging changes across two sessions.
Because I may be working on two issues that happen to change the same class.
Yep.
And they're conflicting changes. So I've got the first shelf set. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes. So it will tell you, it will basically replace one of those with another. It won't say you've got a conflict. Those are two, the idea to think of them as two different development streams, and I want to check them in for different reasons, for different fixes. So this would more likely be I'm operating on a branch for feature A and a different branch of feature B, and I can use a resume and suspend to easily rehydrate my environment across those two. If you're operating as I was in the same code base, it wouldn't make much sense using resume and suspend. You see what I mean? Because I've got the same solution open, right? I mean, you can. You just saw me do it, but it just won't give you that merge level support because that's not really the main scenario.
Yeah. What about the association with the work item? Assuming you only have one work item in progress
at a time. I could have many. It will only give it one title, though. So the default title was the work item name or the work item title. But I could override that and give the suspended session any name I want. I might call it threading investigation, or it doesn't have to be the name of the work item. But it relates the suspended session to those work items. So when I resume, that relationship will be persisted.
Okay. And if I have three work items in progress, mm-hmm. and I make a change in code, has it no work items associated with?
Because I had them in progress in my work session before I suspended and resumed. Right, that's where it's getting that link from. So again, the first thing I do is move what I'm working to in progress, and then at any time I can choose suspend, and it's got that relationship. Yeah. Any other questions on suspend resume? Okay, good. So we can now leave our developer deep in the bowels of threading issues to sort out payroll. Let's put our testing hat on and go and do that verification. Now, as the test team, we may have hundreds of test cases, and I may have raised thousands of bugs. Let's hope not, but, maybe I'm a real expert tester. I like breaking things. I don't want to have to remember what test case I was running to generate what bug. So if you come back to me and say, hey, I'll fix bug 857, okay, well, did I find that running this test case or this test case? I don't want to have to try and remember that. And fortunately, I don't. So on this test area here, I can go to the verify bugs. So this verify bugs section gives me, this is the bug we've been working on, this will be a list of all our unfinished bugs. I'm going to right click and hit verify. And so it's automatically loading the test case that I was running when I raised this bug. Because I raised the bug through a test case, it's got that link. So straight away we're ready to go, which is great. I can start my test. I need to open the application again. That worked. We'll check on our About button. That looks good. So that's a pass, and we'll end that test. So now we'll say that's good. Let's save that state. And it's going to tell me, what do you want to do with that bug? You've just successfully run the test case that you raised that bug from. What state do you want that bug to be in now? And I'm going to say that's going to be done. So we're happy that this is verified and it's finished. So let's save that change. Okay, so we've created a feature request. We did some storyboarding. Devs took it, did some planning. They created some tasks. Right? We moved it into our iteration. We've used the board view to move across and show progress. We wrote some code, got a code review, did some TDD showing the new unit testing features in our code, and we've now gone through and fixed a bug. And then we've shown a tester verifying that bug. In the process, we did that context switching, right? So we moved ahead to develop something new and then flicked back to where we were to fix that bug. So we've gone through quite a few stages so far of our lifecycle. So what I want to move to now is, what does the stakeholder think about it? You know, we want to actually close this loop and say, hey, we've built it. This could be a sprint review type process, or it could be a, hey, we're thinking about putting this into production. Well, there's a number of different times you want to get stakeholder feedback. So what I'm going to do is close Microsoft Test Manager, and we're going to request that our stakeholder gives us this feedback. So we'll go to the home page on our web access. See this request feedback here. Who do I want to give feedback? Well, let's say Julia. I don't want to waste time logging in and out. And tell them how to access the application. Well, we want you to click on this application here. So let's send you a link to that. Copy as path, looks good. Okay, so it's a client application. And we'll send that link. Double click this application. And we can add multiple stakeholders here, not just one. So I could add lots and lots of people. Requesting feedback, that link that I just went through on Team Web Access, that's going to be a premium feature. So the premium SKU to do that. However, the people that you're asking for feedback need no license whatsoever. And they can optionally give you feedback without being asked with no license whatsoever. So imagine this. I can get 3,000 people in my company to give me feedback. I can get my end users to give me feedback who don't even work for my company. And so no licensing there. As long as we're licensed for Team Foundation Server, that's pretty powerful. So I've put in my request, and now I give them some, maybe the steps, areas that I want them to focus on. So I want them to focus on the About dialog. And we'll give them some context. Great dialogue with our company name. Okay, so that looks good. Let's send that off. And again, remember, this is Julia, so it's going to ourself right now. But this is going to use email to send this. That's gone. And you can see on my homepage over here, it's created me this feedback item 107. So this is now waiting for my stakeholders to come back. I don't have full email on here, but I do have an email drop folder. So we go ahead and look at that. This mail route drop. Some wanky time on here. This should drop in pretty soon. That looks new. That was our code review. There you go. I was telling the truth when I said code reviews generate email so that you can request and respond. We've got another one. Okay, good. Oh, yes, I know. So, we've got our email. We want your feedback on the following items. Here's the About dialog, because I just put in one. I could have put in many. A click to start my feedback session, and another link to install the feedback tool. So this is a click once download. Or you can give them an installer to install it directly, if you want to make it part of your organization's build. if you can't, you know, go outside the firewall to install it. So this is all the instructions they need to get started. So let's say, okay, I want to start my feedback session. This looks like Microsoft Test Manager because it really is Microsoft Test Manager. It's built on the same shell and it's using a lot of the same data collectors underneath. But again, I don't need a license to run this. So really, really powerful. Gives me my instructions. It says follow these instructions below, you know, go to this application and double click on the file. That's what we typed in. Click next after you've launched the application. Okay, so let's do what we're told. Take this link. Good. So we'll click next. Now we get some options around what sort of data we want to record. And we can do screen with voice, so we can capture what you're saying. This is good, right? A lot of these stakeholders aren't going to want to type a lot, but they normally like to talk. Apologies to any stakeholders in the room, right? They will give you their opinion if you let them talk. So you, if they've got audio enabled, you can just turn that on and they can just talk to the application, give you some feedback. But actually the one I really like is the screen recording. Screen recording is really powerful because it gives me this option of, it's almost like poor man's UX tracking. So how well are you navigating my application? Do you know the process flow? Are you actually getting lost? Turning this on gives me this opportunity to see if they found the features that we've lit up, or are they struggling? Now, that kind of tracking costs a fortune to try and organize in a lab. Again, no licensing here. So I think this is a great feature. So I've turned on screen only, and maybe my, you know, they're checking it out, saying, okay, that looks all right. And they want to click the About button as they've been told. They can use a screenshot, say, okay, there it is. Put some comments, you know, love the dialogue. But where's my exclamation mark? All right, this is important. And we're happy. We're happy with our comments. And we'll rate it. So I can give it the starred rating, 3 out of 5. We can get some kind of score that we can start to summarize across all of our feedback. Okay, I'm happy with that. I'm going to submit it. Back to web access. I'll go through to work. Work items. And inside my queries, I've got this feedback query. And you can see the top one here, I've got a feedback response from Julia about the About dialog. So I open it up, and there's the screenshot, there's the comments, and there's a link to the video. So if I go to All Links and double-click the video, There we go. It's going to be pretty grainy on this resolution, but you get the idea. There you go. This was me moving around the screen and talking. So we can track, were they getting the most of our application? Were they using it properly without necessarily a whole bunch of scripted guidance? You know, really good feedback on that. Finally, to close the loop, the last thing we're going to want to do on this is create a feature to implement this feedback. Right, we might have the same feedback from 10 people. That's going to drive our prioritization. Hey, this is important. 10 people have said this thing needs attention, or what about this new great idea? So let's do that. So lastly, up here on our feedback response, we can say we want to do a new linked, a new linked work item. Is it going to be a bug or a product backlog item? Well, this is going to be a product backlog item. Actually, let's do it from here. We can create then a feature that automatically has a link to our feedback. So again, we've got some actionable detail from our stakeholders, be it a mock-up or be it feedback on something that's real, that we can use to drive our development efforts. Okay, so I've got like 60 seconds left. This is the same slide as before, so it doesn't count to the count. Remember, I want the longest, the highest number of demos, right? Vote for me. I just read what we've seen, because we've seen a whole lot of demos, but I want to reinforce, you know, we went from user idea, do a mock-up, all in integrated tooling, attach it to my idea, communicate with my team, gave them my intent. Team did some planning, we assigned it to a phase, right? We added some tasks. Then we started executing using that board as a synchronization view. We could all see where we were at. We got our test cases ready. We started development. And once we'd started development as a dev, we were inside Visual Studio. We didn't have to leave, right? We used my work, pulled things to be in progress, automatically got associations with code, unit testing, checked it in, got our code review, got slammed by Cameron, but that's okay. And then we were ready for moving on to the next feature, you know, but we got this bug, used Microsoft Test Manager to raise it from the test case, assigned that through to our dev, who had to switch context using that suspend resume, fixed the bug, verified by our tester. Finally, in the hands of our stakeholder, we could go through and say, what do you think? And we got actionable feedback. We could literally see what they did to our, with our application, got their vote, their number of points, and any changes they wanted us to make that we could feed through as requirements for the next section. Right, so massive jump forward in terms of the end-to-end suitability of this tool. There's a couple of things I didn't get to show you, IntelliTrace in production, integration with System Center. I just couldn't fit it all in. You know, there's so much now for whole team development in 2012. Okay, I mentioned a few of these before. The code review, if you're interested in that, Adam Cogan, an ALM MVP from Australia, is doing a session this afternoon. He's going to kill me. Is he in here? No? Okay, that's all right then. Adam Cogan's not doing a session. No, he is doing a session. I think it's this afternoon on architecture reviews, and he's doing a deep dive on code reviews. So if you're keen on that, check out his session. I'm doing a talk on Scrum in an hour, much more on Team Web Access. Anthony Borton, another ALM MVP from Australia, is talking all about Team Foundation Server in the cloud, as well as Team Foundation Server Admin. So there's a whole bunch around ALM that we're doing over the next couple of days. If you have any questions, because I'm right here on time, please come and see me outside. I'll hang around for a little bit, or there's my email details. And if anyone can remember my Twitter handle, you get a free book. There we go. Free book. Okay, other resources. Thanks very much for your time. I'm slightly over, but I'm going to blame the guy in front of me. And hopefully I'll see you at one of the later ALM sessions. Thanks.